Let's read together Psalms 75 and 76. Both of these psalms were written by Asaph, and both of these psalms deal with the subject of the judgment of God. Let's begin by reading Psalm 75. We give thanks to you, O God, we give thanks, for your wondrous works declare that your name is near. When I choose the proper time, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. I set up its pillars firmly, Selah. I said to the boastful, do not deal boastfully. And to the wicked, do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with a stiff neck. For exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is fully mixed, and he pours it out. Surely its dregs shall all the wicked of the earth drain and drink down. But I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked I will also cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. Let's begin our study of Psalm 75 with some background notes. In Psalm 74, Asaph, the psalmist, called on God to remember his people in view of the enemy who had ruined the sanctuary and defeated the nation. Now Psalm 75 logically follows the appeal of Psalm 74 because here in Psalm 75, we have God's judgment of all his enemies. We see from the title of this psalm that it was set to Altasheth, which literally means do not destroy, and probably was a tune for this psalm so that it could be used in temple worship. So Psalm 75 is a thanksgiving psalm that anticipates God's judgment of the wicked and victory for his people. Let's move to our doctrinal point for Psalm 75. Believers can be sure that God will judge the wicked. Believers can be sure that God will judge the wicked. In verses 1 through 3, Asaph gives thanks and praise to God for his encouraging presence and his wondrous works. And in view of the context, these wondrous works include God's righteous judgment of all the earth. Verses 1 through 3, once again. We give thanks to you, O God, we give thanks, for your wondrous works declare that your name is near. When I choose the proper time, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. I set up its pillars firmly. Selah. Now let me ask you, do we thank and praise the Lord for his righteous judgments? What about when that righteous judgment has to do with disciplining our imperfect ways? In verses 2 and 3, God himself is the speaker, and he assures us that he will judge the whole earth with fairness and righteousness. When I choose the proper time or the appointed time, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. I set up its pillars firmly. Does God have the right and power to do this? Of course he does. He's the creator and sustainer of this earth. End of verse 3. I set up its pillars firmly. Verse 2 stresses the fact that it is God who determines when he will bring about judgment, not us, even though we think we know when and where God should send judgment. Verse 2, once again, when I choose the proper or appointed time, I will judge uprightly. In verses 4 through 8, the unrighteous are warned about the coming judgment of God. In verses 4 and 5, we see that the boastful wicked are likened to proud animals strutting about. I said to the boastful, do not deal boastfully, and to the wicked, do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with a stiff neck. In verses 6 and 7, we see that when God determines that the time of judgment has come, there will be no help available from any direction for the wicked. For exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. This will be true in the end times, not only in reference to individuals, but to nations that attack Israel. Without exception, the wicked will drink the full cup of God's wrath under the judgment of God. Verse 8, or in the hand of the Lord, there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is fully mixed, and he pours it out. Surely its dregs shall all the wicked of the earth drain and drink down. Believers can be sure that God will judge the wicked. Now, what about practical application from Psalm 75? Praise God that there is a hell. Praise God that there is a hell. Verses 9 and 10. But I will declare forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked I will also cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. Asaph says that he will praise God forever. Verse 9. But I will declare forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. For what will Asaph praise God forever? In the context, it is God's vindication and strengthening of the righteous on the one hand, and God's judgment and cutting off of the wicked on the other. Verse 10, all the horns of the wicked I will also cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. Ultimately, this judgment and cutting off of the wicked will be their punishment in hell forever. So we will praise God forever that there is a hell, because there must be a hell for the righteousness of God to be vindicated forever. Hell is not a pleasant doctrine, but it's a reality ordained of God. So praise God that there is a hell. Let's continue reading Psalm 76. In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. In Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. There he broke the arrows of the bow, the shield and sword of battle, Selah. You are more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. The stout-hearted were plundered. They have sunk into their sleep, and none of the mighty men have found the use of their hands. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse were cast into a dead sleep. You yourself are to be feared, and who may stand in your presence when once you are angry? You caused judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still when God arose to judgment to deliver all the oppressed of the earth. Selah. Surely the wrath of man shall praise you. With the remainder of wrath you shall gird yourself. Make vows to the Lord your God and pay them. Let all who are around him bring presents to him who ought to be feared. He shall cut off the spirit of princes. He is awesome to the kings of the earth. Let's consider a few background notes for Psalm 76. Psalm 76, like Psalm 75, is also written by Asaph and also has the judgment of God as its main subject. We read in the title of this psalm of Asaph that it was set to music for stringed instruments and to be used in worship under the direction of the choir director. We see in verses 1 through 3 of this psalm that it is a victory hymn, celebrating God's victory over an enemy who attacked Jerusalem, called Salem and Zion, in verse 2. Verses 1 through 3, once again. In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. In Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. There he broke the arrows of the bow, the shield and sword of battle, Selah. Now, what attack on Jerusalem is Asaph referring to when God overwhelmingly defeated the enemy? A good possibility is the defeat of Sennacherib and the Assyrians, who attacked Jerusalem in 701 BC. In that great and miraculous victory, 185,000 Assyrian troops were wiped out in one night by the angel of the Lord. I'm reading the account in 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 35 and 36. And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when the people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home, and remained at Nineveh. 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 35 and 36. Now notice in verses 4 through 6 of Psalm 76 how this victory of the Lord over Sennacherib and the Assyrian forces seems to be described here in these verses. The stout-hearted were plundered. They have sunk into their sleep. And none of the mighty men have found the use of their hands. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse were cast into a dead sleep. What a great victory that was. And remember, it was because good King Hezekiah and the people of Judah at that time turned to the Lord in trust through the ministry of the prophet Isaiah. Let's move now to our doctrinal point for Psalm 76. Believers can be sure that God's judgment is just. Believers can be sure that God's judgment is just. Verses 7 through 10. You yourself are to be feared, and who may stand in your presence when once you are angry? You caused the judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still when God arose to judgment to deliver all the oppressed of the earth. Selah. Surely the wrath of man shall praise you. With the remainder of wrath you shall gird yourself. Not only can believers be sure that God will judge the wicked, but we can be sure that God's judgment is just. Right now, many people find fault with God for not judging where they think he should judge and for judging where they think he shouldn't judge, namely themselves and what they are doing. In the end, all the earth will be silent. Verse 8, when God rises up to judge, verse 9, because it will be seen that his judgments are just. No one will dare question God's judgments. Now, verse 10 can be translated a couple of different ways, as you can see from your various translations. But either way, what is emphasized is that God's judgments are just, including his holy wrath and the way he deals with the wrath of man. Look at how God dealt with the wrath of Pharaoh at the time of the Exodus, for example. God's wrath against Pharaoh's wrath resulted in glory to God. As Genesis 18, verse 25 says, the judge of all the earth will do justly. Genesis 18, 25. Believers can be sure that God's judgment is just. Practical application from Psalm 76. Don't treat God lightly. Don't treat God lightly. Verses 11 and 12. Make vows to the Lord your God and pay them. Let all who are around him bring presents to him who ought to be feared. He shall cut off the spirit of princes. He is awesome to the kings of the earth. You know, just last week, I heard someone say on a secular radio talk show, of all places, that we would do well to fear the Almighty more than the threat of some foreign tyrant. Well spoken. And that's essentially the point of verses 11 and 12 of Psalm 76. God is to be honored and feared by individuals and the kings of the earth. Nations will be judged for treating the one true God lightly. Now, do these verses have an application for believers? Yes, they do. Sometimes we can treat God too lightly. We need to be careful about how far we go with our jokes about heaven and religion, for example. You can cross the line here and become irreverent. Other examples could be given. Don't treat God lightly.